chaos is everywhere.
Hey everybody, this is Jonathan Gilchrist. I'm just here to tell you about another podcast in the Chaos Family Podcast. This time we're discussing We Are Chaos. We Are Chaos is our catch-all discussion podcast where we discuss things like The Simpsons, Regular Show, and Close Enough. But we've also done things like The Good Place, where we've watched episode by episode and then discussed the philosophical points that have been brought up in those episodes. We Are Chaos is actually the youngest podcast on this feed and will continue to grow, so please grow with us. That's We Are Chaos. Catch us on Thursdays. Thank you, and we'll see you soon. Hey, buddy.
What's up, buddy?
How's it going?
Oh, pretty good. How you doing?
I'm doing good.
Good.
Just starting to get my computer up so we can talk about our win-loss record on the thing, if I can find it. While I do that, I can say, hey, everybody, welcome to Chaos of Ringside. I'm your host, Jonathan Gilchrist, and I keep telling that guy over there he does not have diplomatic immunity. That's Mr. Our Device.
Get it. What?
And yeah, today we're going to go over a revolution. Stuff that happened and such, and also talk about Collision and Dynamite. The reason we're recording these out of order because I want to do Collision because I watched it, but I also half watched Arkham Knight. So I want to do this while I remember what I remember, if that makes sense. I don't care. Microsoft Word. I just want to open up the documents for my thing. There. That's all rude. I need. Oh, that sucks. Stupid Microsoft Word.
Whoa.
No, like, okay, so
poor
little
guy.
Peek behind the curtain. What I do is when we do a prediction show, I put it up on my computer so I have our predictions, right?
Which I did.
But then when I watch Revolution, I have it linked to my phone so I can just update the document with wins and losses on that, on my phone, just because it's easier than always having the computer. But, of course, the computer didn't update with the wins and losses, so now I'm going to have to remember who won and lost. But hopefully you'll be able to help me with that.
I will.
I will say, because I'm awesome, DJ Madman, I believe, had 5 wins overall out of 11, and you had, I think you had 6 and I had 7.
Yeah.
With the final count, so... I'm the best, and everyone else just still sucks.
Yeah, it was my own fault. I always do. There's always one match that I just overthink.
And it was doubly sweet for the one that you chose to overthink in this case. Yeah, we'll just go down the list of the things.
Sad.
If I don't remember who won what, we'll deal with it.
I've got...
First one was Willow...
I've got results here. I'm ready.
Okay. So the first one I have here is the Willow and Stylander versus Sky Blue and Julia Hart, which was a surprise wrong for us. All three, everybody picked Sky Blue and Julia Hart.
That was dumb of us. I don't know why we thought that.
Well, I was going to say, DJ Madman chose them because he was choosing hats out of a box.
Right.
And then inserting what the hats meant. So that's why he chose them.
I meant more you and me. Like, I don't know why we.
I can see why we did because of, like, they won that match. Great. Cool. They won the match. But then right after that, they go back to dysfunction because the next thing that happened was Statlander had a match against Riho. And Stokely threw in a chain for her to cheat to win. And she's like, no, I don't want to do that. But then immediately got pinned.
Yeah.
So they're still doing the thing where they're losing, but kind of subtly becoming bad guys. So it was just, I think it was just a bad timing for us to not realize they were going to win this one.
Yeah, yeah,
out of
I
all
gotcha.
The ones they could win, you know?
Yeah.
But the match itself was fine. I just, yeah, it was our first wrong of the night, basically. So, let's see here. What was the next one on the... I knew
the
I didn't...
12-man.
Was it the 12-man? Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. The Hats chose the Private Party team, which I guess the whole thing with... What was the name? Well, I can't remember him. The guy that we were like, why is he in there?
Oh, Willie Mack.
Willie Mack. I guess it's because there's a storyline going where Private Party's looking for a third, and I forgot that they were doing that, but that was the whole point of Willie Mack being there, was to audition as a third.
Gotcha.
And he ends up losing the match, which right. I think we picked the Jared and team. Or no, we picked Bullet Club.
We must have picked Bullet Club.
Yeah. We picked, sorry, I was thinking of the Collision, because the main event of Collision had Jarrett on a team. So, but yeah, so we picked Bullet Club. I don't know what they're doing with Max Caster, like, screwing up his raps, because it's just become a thing now.
Yeah. They definitely
have a plan for it. I don't know. I don't know what the plan is. I just don't understand, like, what they're going for, you know?
Yeah.
But,
Can't say I understand.
And then you got Jay White, still, I guess, a bad guy when he's by himself. Because he came out on Dynamite when Darby came out and said, one, he was vacating the title, which you were right. My cinematic dream must go unrequited. There will be a tournament. But he came out and he basically said, like, oh, you're nothing without Sting. And Darby came back with, like, what are you without, or what are you, what have you done? You've only played with cardboard the entire time you've been here.
Huh.
And so, yeah, they're going to fight this next week on Dynamite, the big business. And this is going to be Darby's last match before he flies off to climb Everest.
Gotcha.
So it'll probably be a while before we see him. But the way he told it is, he might just die, which is true.
It's very true. Yeah.
People die doing that all the time. It's not impossible. So
it's a real
thing. Yeah, that's like people, I don't know if anybody else knows this. If you listen to the same podcast I do, you might. But people have to eat whole sticks of butter when they climb Everest because the strain on your body is so great, you need that level of calories just in your body to continue going. So
it is what it is, but
well, hopefully he comes back. I'm assuming he will.
Yeah, right?
I mean, he's at least a small guy, so if a Sherpa has to carry him down the mountain, they can.
Yeah.
So so yeah, there's that. And then the next one was FTR versus the Blackpool Combat Club. This one, I was wrong, and both you and DJ Madman were right.
Yep.
I'm not happy with the match. Like, the match.
Well,
was
yeah,
good.
You got it wrong. Obviously, you're not happy about the match.
No, I just didn't like. Well, yes, I'm always unhappy when I'm wrong.
Yeah, exactly. But it can be a great match if you guess it wrong, you're not happy.
Well, it's because they did it wrong, because
yeah,
I had a reason for that picking my pick. But no, I thought that Blackpool Combat Club, it's two singles guys going against the best tag team. I guess maybe it'll set them up to be part of the tournament.
Yeah, that's my guess.
And so that was the whole point. So, that makes sense. But I really don't want them to be the next tag champions, but that might very well happen.
I can see it.
Yeah. As of really right now, the only ones that I know have signed up are FTR and I think the Infantry, randomly enough, has joined the tournament. Yeah, they came out on Collision and they have like a whole new like song. It's like they like the last few months that I haven't been paying attention to ROH, they've got a personality.
Oh, basically. Really?
Yeah, and they were kind of bad guy-y about it.
This is their time, man. This is it.
Yeah.
This tournament's it for them.
For anybody watching AEW, came out of nowhere. For me, it's like, oh, they were actually developing something. I don't know if it's great, but they were developing something on ROH, so good for them.
I mean, the fact that they were developing anything is a good
thing. Yeah, that's sort of what ROH should be good for. So, let's see here. So the next one, I actually got right, which is impressive because it was the 8-man thing. You picked Hook. I put LA. Do you, Lance Archer? That was who the Hats picked for DJ Madman.
Mm-hmm.
And then I picked Wardlow. So good on me for getting that right.
Yeah.
Bad on me because they did exactly what I thought they would do with like a Dante Martin win, which mm-hmm. is Big Business is Wardlow's title shot next week.
Yep.
So I don't know what the fuck that means, but it means it's happening.
Honestly?
Like Adam Cole's out there with him, they have the new title, there's a chance he could win.
Exactly.
But it feels really weird to just do this like 2 weeks later. But I it's something
agree. I agree.
It's but sort to of what fair, Tony Khan does.
If this was their plan the whole time, it also makes sense as to why they like why they wouldn't want to put it on either Hangman or Swerve.
Right. That's true. And there's news about Hangman, but we'll get to that in a minute. That makes sense. I don't know. I don't know what they're planning on doing. I don't enjoy Tony Khan booking all these matches where you win a championship to just give you a shot like the next earliest opportunity. Yeah. It's never a long build. It's like, nope, you get a shot in like 2 weeks on Dynamite.
Right.
For all types of matches, which is just kind of dumb. Like, it kind of defeats the purpose of like a big win in this type of situation.
I get what you mean.
Yeah. Yeah. But whatever, we'll get the match and we'll see what happens. I don't know who I would bet on in that match. I'm going to guess Joe, but there's a real chance we get a Wardlow win with like help from the rest of the
undefeated. I mean, I legitimately could see it.
Yeah. So, as far as the match itself goes, the other big thing that came out of it was that I guess at some point when I wasn't watching, but I probably wouldn't have picked up on a random suplex. Hook suplexed Jericho. So Jericho came out the next week and said he respects Hook for dumping him on his head like Taz did back in the day.
Oh, and really? Then,
yeah, and then Hook was being attacked by the Mogul Embassy. I believe it was Tonga and Loa.
Uh-huh.
And then Jericho came out to help him.
Of course.
And then on Collision, Jericho, who's mostly doing his Lionheart gimmick now.
Right.
He's fighting a bunch of luchadors from CMLL.
Yeah.
He got attacked, and then Hook came out to save him. So that's the thing.
Yay,
right now.
Yay, Jericho Hook.
I saw somebody, just some random TikToker that was doing a video of like reacting to this stuff. And they literally like, oh no, when Jericho came out, he's going down the Jericho vortex. Not my boy.
Like, I mean, I think it's good for him, honestly, because like there's certain young guys who are kind of like already like on the way up that Jericho just right. kind of like, I don't know, just does stuff with and it doesn't really mean anything.
Right.
And it doesn't seem to really have an effect. But like Hook's one where I could see it actually like helping him out a lot.
Right. And that's, by the way, that's why they started with the Mogul Embassy. It's because the match that Hook had was against Brian Cage mm-hmm. for the FTW title.
Gotcha.
And after the match, he was getting jumped by the rest of them.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah. But it looks like that's sort of what like who they're fighting is now. Those three specifically. I don't think Swerve's going to be involved.
Swerve is. It's interesting because you can tell that he's definitely on the way to the face side.
Right.
But
do you get rid of Nana as your manager because he's a really big part of why people started to really like Swerve?
Yeah.
Because the entertaining dance.
Exactly.
But Nana is a bad guy manager. He's always been a bad guy manager.
Yeah. I don't think it means he couldn't do the good guy manager stuff. It's just he just doesn't.
Maybe they'll just leave Swerve and, like, he'll just be himself, be what he is now, but he'll be in this sort of, like, field of gray type of thing. And, like, because AEW has no problem with people being good guys or bad guys, but not always acting like it.
That's fair.
So, but, maybe. You know, have to wait and see. Then the next match was Garcia versus Christian Cage on my list.
Yeah. Or
Christian Cage won the match.
Yeah.
Fair and square, as he would.
Of course.
Basically, they've reset to Adam Copeland. On Dynamite, he came out after Killswitch, I think, got a win on Danny Magic.
Mm-hmm.
And he hit everybody with a chair, chased Christian out of the arena, and then challenged him to an I Quit match in Toronto in like 2 weeks. And then on Collision, he jumped out of the crowd, got Christian. He had a box with him, like it looked like a carrying case for maybe like a guitar or something.
Okay.
And he opened it so Christian could see what was inside of it, and it scared Christian and he backed away, but we didn't see what was inside of it.
Interesting.
So it's just an intrigue of what's in the box.
What's in the box?
I don't know. Do you think, I keep on calling Madge. Do you think Adam Copeland is going to be going to win against Christian?
I don't know, man. All I know is I don't know. What's in the fucking box?
Nobody does. The crowd was chanting and everything.
I don't know, man. Because, like, I feel like that's what it's leading to.
Yeah.
You know, I just don't know, like, what?
I think it could be a good, like, him getting the title would be a nice run a la Cody, where he could have, like, an open challenge and just keep fighting a bunch of young guys for this title.
That's fair.
So, but yeah, we'll have to wait and see. I'm leaning towards Cope or Adam Copeland winning the title, but I don't know for sure if that's going to happen. Yeah. Let's see here. The next one is Takeshna versus Will Ospreay. This was the match that decided it for us.
God damn it.
I don't know
what I was thinking.
Like, everybody and their mothers talking about how this was like a 5-star match.
Yeah, it was.
No, it was really good. I'm just saying, like, it was like I've seen people say worth the entire price of the pay-per-view just for this match.
It was that good. Like, it was absolutely incredible. Like, that was like that match was like New Japan Wrestle Kingdom like quality.
Yeah. And like the fact that Ospreay is that over, like, already. Like, obviously the AEW audience has been introduced to him.
Yeah, it's not like he's new. You know what I mean?
Yeah. It's like instantaneously, though, I even texted you, like, he could have been in the world title match, and I think he would have got the biggest pop out of all four of them.
Yeah.
At that point.
They are ready.
Yes. He also had a really good match with Kyle Fletcher on Dynamite.
Yeah, I didn't get a chance. I didn't watch it, but was it good?
It was really good. Yeah, they went back and forth. They obviously know each other really well.
They're still cool.
Yeah, no. And they did the United Empire thing at the end.
Okay, thank God.
We'll see what happens as far as, like, with the rest of the Don Callis family. But what actually happened after the match was one, Bryan Danielson came out.
Yeah, I saw that.
And did the stare down with Ospreay. And then on Collision, after Danielson beat Shane Taylor, Will Ospreay came out and got his first leap of what I'm sure will be many. He said, you know, ever since I've been here, I've just been walking around and I could see it in other people going, like, that's fucking Danielson. And it's like, that's going to be a hard habit for him to break.
Oh, absolutely. It is absolutely going to be a very hard habit for him to break.
But I think it was a pre-tape show, so it wasn't like a hard bleep. It was just like, oh, that's going to happen a lot with him. I can already tell.
Oh, yeah. You have. I don't know if he's ever given a promo without cursing.
It's just part of who he is. And I,
well,
just
yeah, I mean, accent, he's, you know? He's British.
Right. But yeah, so that's what we're building to now is Danielson versus Ospreay, which I'm sure will be fine.
Yeah, it'll be all right, I guess.
Nothing to write home about, I would suppose. Right,
yeah. Obviously, it's not going to be anything crazy.
Right.
Probably be okay.
I don't know if they're doing that also at Big Business or if they're pushing that out.
They are. Like, they're pushing that out to the, I guess they have a pay-per-view in April.
That's going to be Dynasty in April. Yeah. Okay, yeah. Yeah, I think the tournaments for the tag titles is also going to conclude at Dynasty, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah. So they are having two pay-per-views back-to-back.
Yep. I'm just, I have it scheduled in my budgeting app for a pay-per-view every month. I'm just waiting for months where I can use that money for something else. Hopefully, I don't think it'll be every month. I just don't know how many.
Right. Yeah, I get you.
They gave this one away just by a trademark. So maybe if I keep my eyes on my dirt sheets, it'll say, file their trademark, and we'll know, the next month they'll have a pay-per-view. So, whatever. I prefer if they actually had a schedule. That would be nice so I could actually plan. But
no, that's
too much to ask. The next one was Bryan Danielson versus one Edward Kingston for what I understand now to be the Triple Crown. Or not, the Continental Crown is for all three titles. The Continental Championship is for the one title.
Right.
Okay.
Everyone get that? Good. Grand.
A terminology, I'm going to jump down their throats so fast because I think I finally understand the difference. I'm going to be so annoyed if they fuck it up. This was also a really good match. And yes, it was a blow-off. So Danielson did, do the whole handshake, and I respect Eddie Kingston. And it was, really good. For we've already talked about what Danielson's doing next. One, Eddie Kingston is going to be going up against a new up-and-comer Okada, who I guess had some time in Japan.
Yes, new up-and-comer.
Yes. I'll get into more detail because it has more to do with the main events, what he's doing. But it looks like the first thing he's going to do is go after Eddie's title specifically.
Yeah.
So, but there's more to it than that, but we'll get to it in a second. So, the only thing about Okada that I saw online, I was like, that's probably a good idea. Somebody said, anybody watching New Japan knows how good Okada is, the best wrestler in the world. But he pointed out that, New Japan World only has, 50,000 subscribers worldwide.
Right.
So out of an AEW audience of close to 1 million regulars, probably most of them don't know. So they should probably do, a promo package just showing, how good Okada was in Japan.
I mean, honestly, that's not a bad idea.
Yeah. I think mostly I've seen the crowds have been getting it without that, but just to be on the safe side, it'd probably be a good idea. Yeah. But, let's see. The next match here, we all picked Roderick Strong to win. I think DJ Man specifically looked for a reason not to, because he doesn't like Orange Cassidy, and I don't know when that hatred for Orange Cassidy started.
I'm not going to lie, it doesn't seem very random. Like him.
Yeah. Of all the people that he would have an opinion on, Orange Cassidy's not one of them I would have thought.
Right.
But whatever, that's fine. He got it right because of it.
Yeah.
Roddy is our new international champion. And, I don't think there was any doubt in it. You saw him say his friends were staying in the back, and he's barely holding it together. So, that's what they're going to do. So Orange Cassidy's next thing is going to be him and Trent are going to enter the tag team tournament.
By the way, really quick, just while we're talking to them and we just got done talking about Okada, did you see Chuck Taylor's tweet or whatever he put? I don't remember if it was X or where exactly he posted it, but he posted a message that was pretty fucking hilarious.
No, I didn't see it.
It was a very simple one-liner, too. But Okada came out, for the Young Bucks, and his response he posted was, "Does this make me the leader of chaos now?"
I mean, because Okada's in a different group. I think that might be it.
Oh, it was fucking hilarious. Dude, it had me cracked so hard.
And I feel like for a faction called Chaos, and I should know, I'm an expert in this, it should just be whoever calls it first is the leader at that point.
Yeah, it was pretty hilarious. I'm not gonna lie, man, it got me good. It got me to quite literally laugh out loud.
You LOL'd
in real life so hard, bro.
See how I didn't do the other one? Because I'm old.
Yeah, you are.
All right. The next one was for the win. Well, that was just hurtful. The next one on my list is for the women's world title, Toni Storm versus Deanna Purrazzo.
Yeah.
The match was really good.
Really good.
Myra May came out dressed as old Toni Storm, which I thought was a nice touch.
Yeah, that was really cool. Dude, I'm not going to lie. I was very confused at first. She looked exactly like Toni Storm to start.
Well, after the pay-per-view at the press conference, like Toni brought up that she looked like her, and she said, "Darling, you can have access to any of my old storage units." Because she was so impressed with how much she looked like her.
Yeah, when she first came out, I was just like, what's this? Why is she doing like an old school? And then after a second, I was like, oh, wait, never mind. That's not actually her.
Yeah. But then Toni Storm, without any kind of cheating or anything else, kept the title. Of which, I mean, everybody saw coming.
Yeah.
Really good match. I don't think they're done because... I love fucking Toni Storm's character. So she announced on Dynamite that on Collision, she was going to be giving out a Toni Award with an I so they don't get sued.
Right, of course.
And so after Mariah May had a match where she won and she was again dressed as old Toni Storm, I think she's going to be doing that for a while. Toni comes out and has her shoe as like a gift, and then Deanna comes out behind her and attacks both of them, but then gets beat up because there's two of them.
Right.
So yeah, I think we're going to get another Deanna Toni match before it's all said and done. I think it's a good storyline. I think it's going to be fun to watch it keep going. I did forget, because again, I wrote down two big things that happened because I knew I would forget, but they're not on this list, but I do remember now. At the end of the Roderick Strong Orange Cassidy match, Kyle O'Reilly.
Yeah. Has made his return. That was interesting.
Yes. He immediately got offered an Undisputed Kingdom t-shirt and did not take it.
But he like,
which I thought was
whispered something
to Roderick. Roddy. Yeah. And then he had an interview on Dynamite where he said, like, it's weird. Cause like I'm back after 2 years, but it's basically like starting over. And I don't know if I'll go and be with my friends or if I'm going to go someplace else.
Yeah.
So leave me very open-ended.
Yeah.
My only hope is that he whispered, not without Bobby Fish.
Dude, I know, right?
Oh, that would be nice. Because I don't know what Bobby's doing, but like, why the hell not at this point? Might as well just make it the entire super group. So.
I mean, yeah, might as well.
Yeah. Like, get another, like, get the, especially with a tag team tournament coming up, get Red Dragon back together, put them in the tournament, give them the tag titles, just to add extra to the Undisputed Kingdom. Oh, God, hopefully before MJF comes back and starts a war against them.
That would be so amazing, dude.
Which will all culminate at some point in Blood and Guts, because why the fuck not? Wouldn't it culminate
in
Blood
and Guts? Oh, my God. That would be so cool. Oh, my God. No. The only problem with that really is that just that MJF doesn't have any friends.
Right.
So like,
yeah, he'd have to like, it'd be like getting like disparate people that are just against.
Yeah. You remember, I hate bringing this up. I hate comparing it to this. I really do. Uh-huh. But you remember how there was the Nexus and Cena basically had to get this random hodgepodge group of guys to fucking fight him at Survivor Series.
Right.
And two of the guys were like the heel, I think it was heel Edge and heel Jericho, right?
Yes. Yeah. I believe it was those two.
Like something akin to that happening would have to.
Right. Only this time I hope the Kingdom Undisputed Kingdom wins so they can solidify themselves. Although, I don't know what we're going to see from MJF because he's still not active anywhere and, in fact, just pulled out of a planned appearance at, like, a Comic-Con.
Yeah.
Like a meet and greet. And that's, like, the first thing I've heard about him in weeks.
Right.
So
it's weird, man, because, like, I will say I have to assume that he is all sorts of fucked up physically.
Right. Yeah, no, he's definitely recouping, but I'm just wondering, like, what's the plan for him?
Right, yeah, I get you.
And please let that plan be in AEW. Please let that be in AEW.
For the love of God, dude.
Oh, we don't need that in our lives. Let's see. So we're almost done with the pay-per-view. The next one was the Triple Threat. Swerve and Joe Swerve, Hangman and Joe and Triple Threat for the title.
Another really, really good match.
Yeah, and one Mr. Hangman and Page went further heel.
Yeah.
By attacking referees just left and right.
I was pretty crazy, honestly. Like I like this. I like this kind of like new kind of like insane.
Yeah. When it comes to Swerve Strickland, he's just like crazy and will do anything.
Exactly. Like it's kind of cool.
Yeah. He has been, I love how they did this. Matthew and Nicholas came out. They had some information and they said that Hangman was fined and suspended for a set amount of time. Well, yeah, it's suspended for insulting referees, but not for like a set amount of time.
Oh, indefinitely?
Indefinitely. But they specifically said he was suspended from the elite.
Right.
Not AEW.
Not AEW. He was suspended from the Elite.
Which I thought was really funny. And then, of course, Kenny Omega got fired again from the elite.
Which, by the way, that's interesting. I know he's probably still very far away from like actually coming back, but like that's an interesting setup.
But I love the fact that what Kenny responded with that with he on Twitter, he did the meme of his face from that one match a few years ago where he was like disinterested, the one on the internet. I was like, that is the perfect response from one Kenny Omega for what the Bucks did. I love the ending. I love the fact that like there's like doubt whether Hangman just tapped out to make sure Swerve lost.
Yeah.
Like because he tapped out quickly. That was really cool. I can't wait for what I'm going to assume is going to be a cage match because you need a really heavy match for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, no, I but yeah, that's another reason why, like, are we really going to have Joe lose? I don't know. All right. And then our final match, we all picked the WWE Hall of Famer, specifically DJ Man Man made me write WWE Hall of Famer.
Yep. He is WWE Hall of Famer after that stupid fucking ESPN radio fucking piece of shit fucking interview.
Staying in Darby versus the Young Bucks. In case you guys were wondering,
don't forget, he is a WWE Hall of Famer.
Sure is. And that's what he always will be. So, have you heard the controversy, like all the crying online about this match?
I've heard some stuff. I was going to say, the one thing that I heard the most about was, I know Bully Ray made a comment about how Darby, basically the only thing he really didn't like about the match was the ladder glass spot, because he said it was basically Darby taking away from Sting's match.
I really don't see that.
Well, no, neither do I. I'm just saying that's what he said.
What I'm talking about was people are online complaining about like how AEW is trash because a fan could have been injured, basically.
Oh, I heard that. Yeah. I heard something about that, but.
And I was like, what the fuck? Like, I don't like to compare eras, but.
No, you
like,
shouldn't.
If you go to a wrestling show and they take out the glass, it really, as a fan, you should understand that, yeah, if I'm in the front row, I might want to back up when I see Darby climbing that ladder.
Yeah.
Like, this could be dangerous. Well, it's also, not fake death.
Tommy Dreamer made a comment about how, like, well, the first thing he said was just like, he's like, listen, I completely understand that I'm the first, I'm the last person who should be telling Darby Allin to, like, calm down. But but he was just like, but also he's like, people need to remember that, like, the two things, like the two WWE, like, or Jesus, the two wrestling, like, gimmick things that are the most unpredictable are basically like glass and fire.
Right.
And people need to realize that and be aware.
Right. Yeah. No, I just think it was like, the fans were, they were also apparently, I think they put up a thing before the pay-per-view, like saying, hey, if shit gets weird, we're not liable because we're warning you right now to take precaution.
Yeah.
So I'm totally cool with that. People are also shooting on AEW fan. I'm like, no, that makes perfect fucking sense that you would say, hey, it's not our liability. We're warning you now that this could get dangerous in certain spots if you're not careful. Which is perfectly fine.
I gotta say, man, I don't understand how, like, this stuff they can, like, get shit for, but not, like, some of the things that you hear on, like, commentary and shit with, like, all these, like, social justice warriors and shit out there, all the, like, woke people. Like, they're, like, this is the stuff they're concerned about, but they don't care about all the, like, commentary, like, things that happen. Like, there's plenty of times that they, that someone on there will say something about one of the female wrestlers that I think is perfectly fine. But I know that a lot of these people that like to complain about shit would fucking raise holy hell about.
Right. Yeah, I don't know. It's weird.
Like, what they choose is just very odd.
I honestly think it's a lot of people picking this because they wanted to shit on AEW.
Yeah. Probably.
Like, they just did. And it's like, oh, look how dangerous. Even though, like, if like a spot like that happened to me, they'd be like, that's the greatest thing ever.
That's so cool. Finally, they're doing something.
Right. But enough of our AEW markness. So there's a few other things that happened on this pay-per-view specifically. Mm-hmm. Pac came back. His thing has officially started on Collision. So it was the Bucks and Okada versus some jobbers.
Right.
And they won their trios match.
Yeah.
And then Eddie Kingston came out, got beat up by all three.
Yep.
Then Penta came out to save him. And then Pac came out to help Penta and Eddie. So now it's going to be those three versus the new Elite.
Right.
Which I didn't really mention yet, but yes, Okada has become part of the Elite.
Yeah.
Which, how do you feel about Okada being in the Elite with the Bucks?
Well, the fact that he's out of New Japan and in AEW, and the fact that I know that they're, like, all real-life friends, I am perfectly fine with it. And he's, like, he's... And you also have to remember, their new, like, gimmick now is how they're, like, these... How they're, like, now the, like, very serious, like, EVPs and everything. And their new running mate is, like, the old ace of New Japan, who is loved by everyone, and is literally called the Rainmaker and has money fall.
That's fair.
Like, come on.
So,
like, this is essentially, it's not the same thing, obviously. It's not, because it's, I don't know how to explain it. It's just, it's not the same thing. But what I would say is, like, it's almost like, basically, like the one guy you could never see really being heel, becoming heel, like, basically, like Hogan, even though it's not the same thing, obviously.
That's what I was going to say. Like, for a Japanese fan, is it, like, that level of, like, can't believe this guy
I mean, it would be a bigger deal if it happened in, like, I don't know, like All Japan,
right?
Or Noah, that's, or whatever the fuck it's called.
Yeah, if it was a rival Japanese company.
Then it would be a big deal. But no, it's AEW. It's not a big deal, but it's a big deal in the sense that like it's fucking Okada coming to AEW, getting into bed with the Young Bucks, becoming heel. Like that's all kind of a big deal.
Right.
And his English isn't very good, so him being with the Young Bucks is also a good idea for that.
Yeah. I think AEW will do a better job with that. Like, if he does a promo, they'll put subtitles under him so he can just do a promo in Japanese.
Yeah.
And, like, you get the emotion out of it and also understand what he's saying. But, yeah, no, and I think, so one of the things I read was that Okada, like, he was seriously considering WWE, but AEW, it's won his that way because, one, he can still live in Japan with AEW, which at this point, I don't know why the fuck it's a problem for WWE. Have international people just live where they want. Whatever.
It is. It's a big deal.
I'm happy about it because it basically got AEW, Ospreay, and Okada.
Yeah, so, man. Like it's not going to be seen as a big deal, I'm sure, because they're not WWE names. But, like, if you're a fan of New Japan, like, holy fuck, is this a big deal?
Yeah. No, I think if you're like a Mark, which by the way, I think is another reason why it's a good idea for both of them, because Marks like us know how big a deal it is.
Yeah.
And there's more of us built like as a part of that audience than I think WWE, or at least there's a larger part of the audience that would have no fucking idea.
Yeah.
And they have to start from square one.
I got to say, I don't think Will Ospreay can cut a promo in WWE. I think he will be fined literally every single time.
I don't know what you mean. There's other news. This one's not good. Kevin Kelly's been fired.
Yeah, I saw.
I don't understand the whole, like, why he thought it was a good idea to get on Twitter to air his grievances.
Huh.
Like, feel like that's a conversation he should have had with Tony or somebody.
Right.
And not just put it on social media, but also good to see fucking, I don't know if this is going to extend to wrestlers, but it's good to see like somebody in the back being like, no, we're done with this toxic bullshit.
Yeah.
We're just going to cut it at the like source, basically. It's
exactly what it should be. And like, don't get me wrong. Like, I always thought Kevin Kelly is a good like ring announcer and shit, or you know what I mean? Like commentator.
Yeah.
But like at the same time, you're a fucking commentator.
He's also he's a play-by-play commentator, and they have a lot of those.
Well, that's the other thing now. Is like he's a commentator in a wrestling company that has like basically like the best commentators, like is flooded with good commentators. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like literally flooded with good commentators.
I mean, and you forget like, that like even Paul.
Special.
Yeah, even Paul White, who wrestles sometimes. If they need him, he's really good at commentary.
Exactly.
Like he was doing it with Tony for those months and months. He's really
speaking
good
of wrestlers
at
who are good at commentary. Chris Jericho, Daddy Magic is hilariously awesome at commentary.
Yep.
Like
yes.
They just so they don't need you. You're lucky to have a job there.
Yeah, I'm assuming he'll probably end up going back to New Japan because he was the guy that did English commentary for New Japan. So
I get that.
Let's see. But I think that's everything AEW. I can't think of anything. Oh, I should talk about the collision like specific storyline. So they had an Atlanta street fight, Jarrett's Lethal Mark Briscoe versus House of Black.
Mm-hmm.
It was a lot of stuff. A lot of chairs, a lot of tables. Julia Hart came out and actually Black misted Karen Jarrett, which was funny.
That's awesome.
To me. And then another cool spot, Brody King got a guitar over his head after doing the hanging sleeper on Jay Lethal and then fell through a table.
Oh.
The end of the match actually was Buddy and Malachi did a double powerbomb through a flaming table to Mark.
Oh,
and
got shit.
Hurt. Yeah. Speaking of like things that are, you know, things. So I don't know what the storyline is going forward because the whole match was set up where like Mark was like, yeah, I trust you, Jay, but I don't trust Jarrett.
Right.
But
that like, was the whole but, yeah, but, of their feud before.
But Jarrett is a, but Jay's response was like, Jarrett is like exactly the kind of bastard you want in a fight with also you true. In this situation, which is also very true.
Also very so, yeah, true.
The match itself was good. I just don't know what the next step is. I don't think it's over.
Right.
But I don't know what the next step for those six are gonna is gonna be. So, but yeah, I think that's everything. I don't think there's any other because most of it was Revolution, yeah. And then just random WWE news that I find funny. Did you hear what they've settled on for their main events for night one and night two?
I know. I don't know which night it is, but I know the. Isn't the tag team match one of them?
Yep. Night one, the main event is a tag match with Seth Rollins and Cody versus Roman and The Rock. And right. If Roman and The Rock win, it's Bloodline rules. The way I assume it's for both matches, but it doesn't make sense because the other match is Seth and fucking Drew McIntyre. So I don't know what that would mean for them, but whatever. Specifically, I think it's going to be for the Cody match, which was already a triple threat. So I don't know what the difference would be, actually, now that I think about it, because a triple threat is already no disqualification.
Right.
So I don't know what else you would add. But yeah, just looking forward to Cody finishing that story.
Yeah.
Just, I don't know what they're planning on doing, but I keep coming back to the fact that we're less than 200 days from him breaking Hogan's record.
He's got to hang on to it.
Past Hogan, it's not possible. Like, Backlund was like 6 years, and fucking Bruno, I think, was like seven.
Right.
So it's not possible past that. But
well, you say that.
That's true, but I doubt it. I just doubt they're going to do that because I can't imagine they keep the audience entertained for another, what would be, 2-3 years?
Yeah.
To like get to back,
I think.
Yeah. So I don't know. But whatever, we'll see what happens. Yeah,
you say that, but time flies, man.
That's true. Like, it doesn't feel like it's been that long. I mean, it feels like it's been a long time, but comparatively how long it actually is,
yeah,
the Roman storyline doesn't feel as long as it is.
Right, exactly. So, like, I mean, I could see it.
Yeah,
especially if you pump a little freshness into it with like the Rock and shit.
Right. Which I do think he's sticking around. I guess there's news that there's going to be another Saudi show.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a good chance he'll have another match.
Yeah, they're trying to get him for that. Also, so, you got to remember, that's another, 3 or 4 WrestleManias that they can have Roman beat Cody. So,
right. I mean, you could definitely beat Cody a few more times.
Yeah.
Like,
he's really driving home that he's never going to be, the guy. Just really drive it home that he should have stayed in AEW.
Cody really just, he makes the best choices when it comes to his on-screen character, as far as I can tell.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which, by the way, I still will think that he makes stupid choices, even if he wins the title. I'm still not convinced that that makes the leaving AEW a good idea, or blocking himself off of the world title in AEW a good idea.
Yeah,
I don't think either of those were good ideas.
I get you.
But that's just me harping because I really want people to know it's not because I don't like Cody. It's because I do like Cody.
Because he
and
did
I
something
really
you
want...
didn't want to happen.
Exactly. As we started, every time that happens, I get pissed.
Exactly.
So,
I had this plan for you. Why aren't you doing it?
That's why I should run my own company.
Yeah, exactly.
It really comes down to I really, really think AEW would be better with him there.
Yeah,
and
I would agree.
I don't think it makes a bit of difference if he's in WWE or not.
I also agree.
I
with
really
that.
Don't.
Yeah.
So it just annoys me. But anyway, yeah, I think that's everything. I don't have anything else. Did you have any other things that popped up?
Not particularly.
Yeah, I think I covered everything. The storylines have pretty much only progressed a week. So I'm assuming that next time we come back to this, we'll be talking about Mercedes Moné's big debut in Boston.
I would assume.
It's all very much led up to that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I'm looking forward to big business. They are putting together a good free, card at this point. So, we'll talk more about it. As far as this last Monday would have been Deep Space Nine, which we haven't recorded yet, but it's a good episode. It's the episode where Sisko is chasing Eddington, who was the security officer that betrayed him. Really good. And then next week, I don't think we have anything yet for Chaos Everywhere, but we'll figure it out. We always do. I have to stop and sit and think of like, hey, what can we do that would be fun? So something 90s nostalgia, probably. All right. Well, have a good week, everybody, and we'll see you soon.
Deuces.